said, "Do you remember me?" Then, looking into the man's eyes, Raythan had a flash of remembrance. He remembered evil eyes in the body of a tall, unmerciful man. He remembered chants. He remembered fires. He remembered screams, his screams, and a face hanging above him. They were the same eyes.
"You,"
Raythan said with a gasp.
"You remember?"
"I remember," Raythan said with a dull chill. "You were the one that convinced me to leave. In my third month, you demanded that one of your monks use his magic and send you to Wyrn's palace. The monk complied, giving up his life to transport you a distance that you could have walked in 15 minutes.
"Absolute obedience is required, Raythan,"
Diloph whispered.
"Occasional tests and examples bring loyalty from the rest."
Then, pausing, he looked out over the bay. The armada was docked, waiting as per Diloph's order. Raythan scanned the horizon, and he could see several dark specks, the tips of masts. Wyrn's army was coming.
"Come," Diloph ordered, rising to his feet. "We have been successful. The Teoish armada has docked. They will not be able to stop our fleet from landing. I have only one duty remaining. The death of King Eventio."
A vision sprang into Raedon's passive mind. He tried to ignore it, yet for some reason it refused to leave. He saw it through the shimmering surface of his pain. A simple picture. It was Aeon Rheo, a large square with four circles around it, lines connecting them to the center. It was a widely used Aeon, especially among the Karathi, for its meaning. Spirit. Soul. Floating in the white eternity, Riordan's mind tried to discard the image of Aeon Rheo. It was something from a previous existence, unimportant and forgotten. He didn't need it any longer. Yet even as he strove to remove the image, another sprung up in its place. Elantris. Four walls forming a square. The four outer cities surrounding it, their border circles. A straight road leading from each city to Elantris.
"Merciful Domai."
The soldiers opened several barrels of oil, and Lucal watched with revulsion as they began pouring them over the heap of bodies. Three shirtless warriors stood at the side, singing some sort of chant in a foreign language that sounded too harsh and unfamiliar to be Fjordal.
"We will be next," Lucal realized.
"Don't look," Lucal ordered his family, turning away as the soldiers prepared Elantris for immolation. King Eventio stood in the distance, a small honor guard surrounding him. He bowed his head as Diloph approached. The monk smiled, preparing his knife. Eventio thought he was presenting his country for surrender. He didn't realize that he was offering it up for a sacrifice. Raythan walked beside Diloph, thinking about necessity and duty. Men would die, true, but their loss would not be meaningless. The entire Fjordal Empire would grow stronger for the victory over Teod. The hearts of men would increase in faith. It was the same thing Raythan himself had done in Aerilon. He had tried to convert the people for political reasons, using politics and popularity.
He had bribed Telrai to convert, giving no heed to saving the man's soul. It was the same thing. What was a nation of unbelievers when compared with all of Shudareth? Yet even as he rationalized, his stomach grew sick. I was sent to save these people, not to slaughter them. Dilaf held Princess Serene by the neck, her mouth gagged. Evantio looked up and smiled reassuringly as they approached. He could not see the knife in Dilaf's hand.
"I have waited for this," Dilaf whispered softly.
At first Raythan thought the priest referred to the destruction of Teod. But Dilaf wasn't looking at the king. He was looking at Serene, the blade of his knife pressed into her back.
"You, princess, are a disease,"
Dilaf whispered in Serene's ear, his voice barely audible to Raythan.
"Before you came to Kaye, even the Aerilians hated Elantris. You are the reason they forgot that loathing. You associated with the unholy ones, and you even descended to their level. You are worse than they are. You are one who is not cursed, but seeks to be cursed. I considered killing your father first and making you watch. But now I realize it will be much worse the other way around. Think of old Evantio watching you die, princess. Ponder that image as I send you to Yadath's eternal pits of torment."
She was crying, the tears staining her gag. Raoden struggled toward consciousness. The pain hit him like an enormous block of stone, halting his progress, his mind recoiling in agony. He threw himself against it, and the torment washed over him. He slowly forced his way through the resistant surface, coming to a laborious awareness of the world outside himself. He wanted to scream over and over again. The pain was incredible. However, with the pain, he felt something else. His body. He was moving, being dragged along the ground. Images washed into his mind as sight returned. He was being pulled towards something round and blue. The pool. "No," he thought desperately. "Not yet. I know the answer." Raoden screamed suddenly, twitching. Galadin was so surprised that he dropped the body. Raoden stumbled forward, trying to get his footing, and fell directly into the pool. Chapter 61. Dilaf reached around the princess to press his dagger against her neck. Evantio's eyes opened wide with horror. Raythan watched the dagger begin to slice Serene's skin. He thought of Fjordan. He thought of the work he had done, the people he had saved. He thought of a young boy, eager to prove his faith by entering the priesthood. Unity.
"No!"
Spinning, Raythan drove his fist into Dilaf's face. Dilaf stumbled for a moment, lowering his weapon in surprise. Then the monk looked up with rage and plunged the dagger at Raythan's breast. The knife slid off Raythan's armor, scraping ineffectually along the painted steel. Dilaf regarded the breastplate with stunned eyes.
"But that armor is just for show."
"You should know by now, Dilaf," Raythan said, bringing his armored forearm up and smashing it into the monk's face.
though the unnatural bone had resisted Raythan's fist. It crunched with a satisfying sound beneath steel.
"Nothing I do is just for show."
Dila fell, and Raythan pulled the monk's sword free from its scabbard.
"Launch your ships, Eventio," he yelled. "Fjordan's armies come not to dominate, but to massacre. Move now if you want to save your people."
"Ragdomai!"
Eventio cursed, yelling for his generals. Then he paused.
"My daughter!" "I will help the girl," Raythan snapped. "Save your kingdom, you fool!"
Though Dakor bodies were unnaturally quick, their minds recovered from shock no more quickly than those of regular men. Their surprise bought Raythan a few vital seconds. He brought his sword up, shoving Serene toward an alleyway, and backing up to block the entrance. The water held Raoden in a cool embrace. It was a thing alive. He could hear it calling in his mind. "Come," it said. "I give you release." It was a comforting parent. It wanted to take away his pain and sorrows, just as his mother had once done. "Come," it pled. "You can finally give up."
"No," Raoden thought. "Not yet."
The Fjordels finished dousing the Elantrians with oil, then prepared their torches. During the entire process, Shuden moved his arms in restrained circular patterns, not increasing their speed as he had the time at the fencing class. Lucal began to wonder if Shuden wasn't planning an assault at all, but simply preparing himself for the inevitable. Then, Shuden burst into motion. The young baron snapped forward, spinning like a dancer as he brought his fist around, driving it into the chest of a chanting warrior monk. There was an audible crack, and Shuden spun again, slapping the monk across the face. The demon's head spun completely around, his eyes bulging as his reinforced neck snapped. And Shuden did it all with his eyes closed. Lucal couldn't be certain, but he thought he saw something else, a slight glow following Shuden's movements in the dawn shadows. Yelling a battle cry, more to motivate himself than frighten his foes, Lucal grabbed the table leg and swung it at a soldier. The wood bounced off the man's helmet, but the blow was powerful enough to daze him, so Lucal followed it with a solid blow to the face. The soldier dropped, and Lucal grabbed his weapon. Now he had a sword. He only wished he knew how to use it. The Dakor were faster, stronger, and tougher, but Raythan was more determined. For the first time in years, his heart and his mind agreed. He felt power, the same strength he had felt that first day when he had arrived in Aerilon, confident in his ability to save its people. He held them off, though just barely. Raythan might not have been a Dakor monk, but he was a master swordsman. What he lacked in comparative strength and speed, he could compensate for in skill. He swung, thrusting his sword at a Dakor chest, slamming it directly in between two bone ridges. The blade slid past enlarged ribs, piercing the heart. The Dakor gasped, dropping as Raythan whipped his sword free. The monk's companions, however, forced Raythan to retreat defensively into the alleyway. He felt Serene stumbling behind him, pulling off her gag.
"There are too many," she said. "You can't fight them all."
She was right. Fortunately, a wave moved through the crowd of warriors, and Raythan heard the sounds of battle coming from the other side. Eventio's honor guard had joined the affray.
"Come on," Serene said, tugging his shoulder.
Raythan risked a glance behind him. The princess was pointing at a slightly ajar door in the building next to them. Raythan nodded, battering away another attack, then turned to run. Raoden burst from the water, gasping reflexively for breath. Galadin and Kerita jumped back in surprise. Raoden felt the cool blue liquid streaming from his face. It wasn't water, but something else, something thicker. He paid it little heed as he crawled from the pool.
Sule,
Galadin whispered in surprise. Raoden shook his head, unable to respond. They had expected him to dissolve. They didn't understand that the pool couldn't take him, unless he wanted it to.
Come,
he finally rasped, stumbling to his feet. Despite Lucal's energetic assault and Shuden's powerful attack, the other townspeople simply stood and watched in dumb stupefaction. Lucal found himself desperately fighting three soldiers. The only reason he stayed alive was because he did more dodging and running than actual attacking. When aid finally did come, it was given by an odd source. The women. Several of Serene's fencers snatched up pieces of wood or fallen swords and fell in behind Lucal, thrusting with more control and ability than he could even feign to know. The brunt of their onslaught was pushed forward by surprise, and for a moment Lucal thought they might actually break free. Then Shuden fell, crying out as a sword bit into his arm. As soon as the Jindo's concentration broke, so did his war dance, and a simple club to the head knocked him from the battle. The old queen, Isshin, fell next. A sword rammed through her chest. Her horrible scream and the sight of the blood streaming down her dress unnerved the other women. They broke, dropping their weapons. Lucal took a long gash on the thigh, as one of his foes realized he had no clue how to use his weapon. Lucal yelled in pain and fell to the cobblestones, holding his leg. The soldier didn't even bother to finish him off. Raoden dashed down the side of the mountain at a horrifying pace. The prince leapt and scrambled, as if he hadn't been practically comatose just a few minutes earlier. One slip at this pace, one wrong step, and he wouldn't stop rolling until he hit the foot of the mountain.
Dolokin,
Galadin said, trying his best to keep up. At this rate, they would reach Kei in a matter of minutes. Serene hid beside her unlikely rescuer, holding perfectly still in the darkness. Raythan looked up through the floorboards. He had been the one to spot the cellar door, pulling it open and shoving her through. Underneath, they had found a terrified family, huddled in the blackness. They had all waited quietly, tense, as the Dakor moved through the house, then left out the front door. Eventually, Raythan nodded. "Let's go," he said, reaching over to lift the trap door.
"Stay down here," Serene told the family. "Don't come up until you absolutely have to."
The Yorn's armor clinked as he climbed the steps, then peeked cautiously into the room. He motioned for Serene to follow, then moved into the small kitchen at the back of the house. He began pulling off his armor, dropping its pieces to the floor. Though he gave no explanation, Serene understood the action. The blood-red Yorn's armor was far too distinctive to be worth its protective value. As he worked, Serene was surprised at the apparent weight of the metal. "You've been walking around all these months in real armor? Wasn't that difficult?"
"The burden of my calling," Raythan said, pulling off his final greave. Its blood-red paint was now scratched and dented. "A calling I no longer deserve." He dropped it with a clank. He looked at the greave, then shook his head, pulling off his bulky cotton underclothing, meant to cushion the armor. He stood bare-chested, wearing only a pair of thin, knee-length trousers, and a long, sleeve-like band of cloth around his right arm.
Why the covered arm? Serene wondered. Some piece of Dorethi priest's garb?
Other questions were more pressing, however.
Why did you do it, Raythan? She asked. Why turn against your people?
Raythan paused, then he looked away. Diloph's actions are evil.
But your faith?
My faith is in Yadith, a god who wants the devotion of men. A massacre does not serve him.
Wyrn seems to think differently.
Raythan did not respond, instead selecting a cloak from a nearby chest. He handed it to her, then took another for himself. Let us go. Raoden's feet were so covered with bumps, lacerations, and scrapes that he no longer related to them as pieces of flesh. They were simply lumps of pain burning at the end of his legs. But still, he ran on. He knew that if he stopped, the pain would claim him once again. He wasn't truly free. His mind was on loan, returned from the void to perform a single task. When he was finished, the white nothingness would suck him down into its oblivion again. He stumbled toward the city of Kei, feeling as much as seeing his way. Lucal lay dazed as Yala pulled him back toward the mass of terrified townspeople. His leg throbbed, and he could feel his body weakening as blood spilled from the long gash. His wife bound it as best she could, but Lucal knew that the action was pointless. Even if she did manage to stop the bleeding, the soldiers were only going to kill them in a few moments anyway. He watched in despair as one of the bare-chested warriors tossed a torch onto the pile of Elantrians. The oil-soaked bodies burst into flames. The demon man nodded to several soldiers, who pulled out their weapons and grimly advanced on the huddled townspeople.
What is he doing?
Kerita demanded as they reached the bottom of the slope. Raoden was still ahead of them, running in an unsteady gait toward Kay's short border wall.
I don't know, Gallatin said.
Ahead, Raoden grabbed a long stick from the ground. Then he started to run, dragging the length of wood behind him.
What are you up to, Sule? Gallatin wondered.
Yet he could feel stubborn hope rising again.
Whatever it is, Kerita, it is important. We must see that he finishes.
He ran after Raoden, following the prince along his path. After a few minutes, Kerita pointed ahead of them. There! A squad of 6 Fjordel guards, probably searching the city for stragglers, walked along the inside of Kei's border wall. The lead soldier noticed Raoden and raised a hand.
Come on,
Gallatin said, dashing after Raoden with sudden strength.
No matter what else happens, Kerita, don't let them stop him.
Raoden barely heard the men approaching, and he only briefly recognized Gallatin and Kerita running up behind him, desperately throwing themselves at the soldiers. His friends were unarmed. A voice in the back of his head warned that they would not be able to win him much time. Raoden continued to run, the stick held in rigid fingers. He wasn't sure how he knew he was in the right place, but he did. He felt it.
Only a little farther. Only a little farther.
A hand grabbed him. A voice yelled at him in Fjordel. Raoden tripped, falling to the ground. But he kept the stick steady. not letting it slip even an inch. A moment later there was a grunt, and the hand released him.
Only a little farther.
Men battled around him, Galadin and Kerita keeping the soldiers' attention. Raoden let out a primal sob of frustration, crawling like a child as he dug his line in the ground. Boots slammed into the earth next to Raoden's hand, coming within inches of crushing his fingers. Still, he kept moving. He looked up as he neared the end. A soldier finished the swing that separated Kerita's beleaguered head from her body. Galadin fell with a pair of swords in his stomach. A soldier pointed at Raoden. Raoden gritted his teeth and finished his line in the dirt. Galadin's large bulk crashed to the ground. Kerita's head knocked against the short stone wall. The soldier took a step. Light exploded from the ground. It burst from the dirt like a silver river, spraying into the air along the line Raoden had drawn. The light enveloped him, but it was more than just light. It was essential purity, power refined. The door. It washed over him, covering him like a warm liquid. And for the first time in 2 months, the pain went away. The light continued along Raoden's line, which connected to Kay's short border wall. It followed the wall, spurting from the ground, continuing in a circle, until it completely surrounded Kay. It didn't stop. The power shot up the short road between Kay and Elantris, spreading to coat the great city's wall as well. From Elantris, it moved to the other three outer cities, their rubble all but forgotten in the 10 years since the Riode. Soon, all five cities were outlined with light. Five resplendent pillars of energy. The city complex was an enormous aeon, a focus for Elantrian power. All it had needed was the chasm line to make it begin working again. One square, four circles. Aeon Rao, the spirit of Elantris. Raoden stood in the torrent of light, his clothing fluttering in its unique power. He felt his strength return, his pains evaporate like unimportant memories, and his wounds heal. He didn't need to look to know that soft white hair had grown from his scalp, that his skin had discarded its sickly taint in favor of a delicate silver sheen. Then he experienced the most joyful event of all. Like a thundering drum, his heart began to beat in his chest. The Sheod, the transformation, had finally completed its work. With a sigh of regret, Raoden stepped from the light, emerging into the world as a metamorphosed creature. Galadin, stunned, rose from the ground a few feet away, his skin a dark metallic silver. The terrified soldiers stumbled away. Several made wards against evil, calling upon their god.
"You have 1 hour," Raoden said, raising a glowing finger toward the docks. "Go!"
Lucul clutched his wife, watching the fire consume its living fuel. He whispered his love to her as the soldiers advanced to do their grisly work. Father Omine whispered behind Lucul, offering a quiet prayer to Domai for their souls, and for those of their executioners. Then, like a lantern suddenly set aflame, Elantris erupted with light. The entire city shook,
its walls seeming to stretch, distorted by some awesome power. The people inside were trapped in a vortex of energy, sudden winds ripping through the town. All fell still. They stood as if at the eye of an enormous white storm, power raging in a wall of luster that surrounded the city. Townspeople cried out in fear, and soldiers cursed, looking up at the shining walls with confusion. Lucal wasn't watching the walls. His mouth opened slightly in amazement as he stared at the pyre of corpses and the shadows moving within it. Slowly, their bodies glistening with a light more luminous and more powerful than the flames around them, the Elantrians began to step from the blaze, unharmed by its heat. The townspeople sat stunned. Only the two demon priests seemed capable of motion. One of them screamed in denial, dashing at the emerging Elantrians with his sword upraised. A flash of power shot across the courtyard and struck the monk in the chest, immolating the creature in a puff of energy. The sword dropped to the cobblestones with a clang, followed by a scattering of smoking bones and burnt flesh. Lucal turned bewildered eyes toward the source of the attack. Raedon stood in the still open gate of Elantris, his hand upraised. The king glowed like a specter returned from the grave, his skin silver, his hair a brilliant white, his face effulgent with triumph. The remaining demon priest screamed at Raedon and Fjordan, cursing him as a Sfracus. Raedon raised a hand, quietly sketching in the air, his fingers leaving gleaming white trails. Trails that shone with the same raging power that surrounded Elantris's wall. Raedon stopped, his hand poised next to the gleaming character. Aeon Dei, the Aeon for power. The king looked through the glowing symbol, his eyes raised in a challenge to the lone Durethi warrior. The monk cursed again, then slowly lowered his weapon. "Take your men, monk," Raedon said. "Board those ships and go. Anything Durethi, man or vessel, that remains in my country after the next hour's chime will suffer the force of my rage. I dare you to leave me with a suitable target." The soldiers were already running, dashing past Raedon into the city. Their leader slunk behind them. Before Raedon's glory, the monk's horrible body seemed more pitiful than it did terrifying. Raedon watched them go. Then he turned toward Lucal and the others. "People of Aerilon, Elantris is restored!" Lucal blinked dizzily. Briefly, he wondered if the entire experience had been a vision concocted by his overtaxed mind. When the shouts of joy began to ring in his ears, however, he knew that it was all real. They had been saved. "How totally unexpected," he declared, then proceeded to faint from blood loss. Dilaf tenderly prodded at his shattered nose, resisting the urge to bellow in pain. His men, the Dakor, waited beside him. They had easily slain the king's guards, but in the combat, they had somehow lost not only Eventio and the princess, but the traitor Raethan as well. "Find them," Dilaf demanded, rising to his feet. Passion, anger, the voice of his dead wife called in his ears, begging for revenge. She would have it. Eventio would never launch his ships in time. Besides, 50 Dakor already roamed his capital. The monks themselves were like an army, each one as powerful as 100 normal men.
They would take Teod yet.
Chapter 62. Serene and Raythan shambled down the city street, their nondescript cloaks pulled close. Raythan kept his hood up to hide his dark hair. The people of Teod had gathered in the streets, wondering why their king had brought the armada into the bay. Many wandered in the direction of the docks, and with these Serene and Raythan mingled, stooped and subservient, trying their best to look commonplace.
"When we arrive, we will seek passage on one of the merchant ships," Raythan said quietly. "They will bolt from Teod as soon as the armada launches. There are several places in Rovell that don't see a Dorethi priest for months at a time. We can hide there."
"You talk as if Teod will fall," Serene whispered back. "You may go, priest, but I will not leave my homeland."
"If you value its safety, you will," Raythan snapped. "I know Dilaf. He is a man obsessed. If you stay in Teod, so will he. If you leave, perhaps he will follow."
Serene ground her teeth. The Yorn's words had apparent sense in them, but it was possible he was concocting things to get her to accompany him. Of course, there was no reason for him to do such a thing. What cared he for Serene? She had been his fervent enemy. They moved slowly, unwilling to set themselves apart from the crowd by increasing their speed.
"You didn't really answer my question before, priest," Serene whispered. "You have turned against your religion. Why?"
Raythan walked in silence for a moment.
I don't know, woman. I have followed Shudarath since I was a child. The structure and formality of it have always called to me. I joined the priesthood. I thought I had faith. It turned out, however, that the thing I grew to believe was not Shudarath after all. I don't know what it is.
Shukorath?
Raythan shook his head.
That is too simple. Belief is not simply Karathi or Dorethi, one or the other. I still believe Dareth's teachings. My problem is with Wyrn, not God.
Horrified at his show of weakness before the girl, Raythan quickly steeled his heart against further questions. Yes, he had betrayed Shudarath. Yes, he was a traitor. But for some reason he felt calm now that he had made the decision. He had caused blood and death in Dúladel. He would not let that happen again. He had convinced himself that the Republic's fall was a necessary tragedy. Now he had dispelled that illusion. His work in Dúladel had been no more ethical than what Dilaf had attempted here in Teod. Ironically, by opening himself to truth, Raythan had also exposed himself to the guilt of his past atrocities. One thing, however, kept him from despair: the knowledge that whatever else happened to him, no matter what he had done, he could say that he now followed the truth in his heart. He could die and face Yadith with courage and pride. The thought crossed his mind right before he felt the stab of pain in his chest. He reached over in surprise, grunting as he brought his hand up. His fingers were stained with blood. He felt his feet weaken, and he slumped against a building, ignoring Serene's startled cry. Confused, he looked out into the crowd, and his eyes fell on the face of his murderer. He knew the man. His name was Fionn, the priest Raythan had sent home from Kaer the very day he had arrived. That had been 2 months ago. How had Fionn found him? How? It was impossible. Fionn smiled, then disappeared into the throng of people.
As the darkness closed in, Raythan discarded all questions. Instead, his view and consciousness was filled with Serene's worried face. The woman who had destroyed him. Because of her, he had finally rejected the lies he had believed all of his life. She would never know that he had come to love her.
"Goodbye, my princess," he thought. "Yadith, be merciful to my soul. I only did the best I could."
Serene watched the light fading from Raythan's eyes.
"No!"
she cried, pressing her hand against his wound in a futile attempt to stop the blood. "Raythan, don't you dare leave me alone here!" He didn't respond. She had fought with him over the fate of two countries, but had never really known who he was. She never would. A startled scream shot Serene back into the tangible world. People gathered around her, upset by the sight of a dying man in the street. Stunned, Serene realized she had become the center of attention. She lifted her hand, pulled away as if to hide, but it was too late. Several bare-chested forms appeared from an alley to investigate the disturbance. One of them had blood on his face, the sign of a broken nose. Fionn slipped away from the crowd, exulting at the ease of his first kill. They had told him that it would be simple. He needed only to knife a single man, and then he would be admitted into the monastery of Wrathbor, where he would be trained as an assassin.
"You were right, Raythan," he thought. "They did give me a new way to serve Yadith's empire. An important one."
How ironic that the man he had been ordered to kill had turned out to be Raythan himself. How had Weir known that Fionn would find Raythan here, on the streets of Teod of all places? Fionn would probably never know. Lord Yadith moved in ways beyond the understanding of men. But Fionn had performed his duty. His period of penance was over. With a merry step, Fionn went back to his inn and ordered breakfast.
"Leave me," Lucal said with a pained tone. "I'm nearly dead. See to the others."
"Stop whining," Raoden said, drawing Aeon Ayin in the air above the wounded Lucal. He crossed it with the chasm line, and the wound in the merchant's leg resealed instantly. Not only did Raoden know the proper modifiers this time, but his Aeons had the power of Elantris behind them. With the resurrection of the city, Aeon Dor had regained its legendary strength. Lucal looked down, experimentally bending his leg and feeling where the cut had been. Then he frowned.
"You know, you could have left a scar. I had to go through an awful lot to get that wound. You should have seen how courageous I was. My grandchildren are going to be disappointed that I don't have any scars to show them."
"They'll live," Raoden said, rising and walking away.
"What's wrong with you?" Lucal said from behind. "I thought we won."
"We won," Raoden thought. "But I failed." They had searched the city. There was no sign of Serene, Dilaf, or Raythan. Raoden had captured a straggling Dorethai soldier and demanded to know where they were. But the man had pled ignorance, and Raoden had released him with disgust. He brooded, watching the people celebrate. Despite the deaths, despite the near-complete destruction of Kaye, they were happy. Fjordan had been cast out, and Elantris had returned. The days of the gods had come again. Unfortunately, Raoden couldn't enjoy the sweetness of his victory. Not without Serene. Galadin approached slowly, ambling away from the group of Elantrians. The mass of silver-skinned people
were for the most part disoriented. Many of them had been hoied for years, and knew nothing of current events.
"They're going to be," the doula began.
"My Lord Raoden," a voice suddenly interrupted, a voice Raoden recognized.
"Aishi?"
he asked anxiously, seeking out the Sion.
"Your Majesty," Aishi said, zipping across the courtyard. "A Sion just spoke with me. The princess. She is in Teod, my lord. My kingdom is under attack as well."
"Teod?" Raoden asked, dumbfounded.
"How in Domai's name did she get there?"
Serene backed away, wishing desperately for a weapon. The townspeople noticed Dilaf and his warriors, and seeing the Fjordel's odd, twisted bodies and malevolent eyes, scattered in fright. Serene's reflexes urged her to join them, but such a move would only put her directly in Dilaf's hands. The small monk's warriors quickly fanned out to cut off Serene's escape. Dilaf approached, his face stained with drying blood, his bare torso sweating in Teod's cold air, the intricate patterns beneath the skin on his arms and chest bulging, his lips curved in a wicked smile. At that moment, Serene knew that this man was the most horrifying thing she would ever see. Raoden climbed to the top of Elantris's wall, taking the steps two at a time, his restored Elantrian muscles moving more quickly and tirelessly than even those of his pre-Sheod self.
"Sule!"
Galadin called with concern, rushing up behind him. Raoden didn't respond. He topped the wall, pushing his way through the crowds of people who stood looking over the remains of Kei. They parted as they realized who he was, some kneeling and mumbling, "Your Majesty." Their voices were awed. In him they saw a return to their former lives. Hopeful, luxurious lives, filled with ample food and time. Lives nearly forgotten over a decade of tyranny. Raoden gave them no heed, continuing until he stood on the northern wall, which overlooked the broad blue sea of Fjorden. On the other side of those waters lay Teod and Serene.
"Sion," Raoden ordered, "show me the exact direction Teod's capital is from this point."
Aishi hovered for a moment, then moved to a spot in front of Raoden, marking a point on the horizon.
"If you wanted to sail to Teod, my lord, you would go in this direction."
Raoden nodded, trusting the Sion's innate sense of direction. He began to draw. He constructed Aeon Tae with frantic hands, his fingers tracing patterns he had learned by rote, never thinking they would do any good. Now, with Elantris somehow feeding the Aeon's strength, lines no longer simply appeared in the air when he drew. They exploded. Light streamed from the Aeon, as if his fingers were ripping tiny holes through a mighty dam, allowing only some of the water to squirt through.
"Sule,"
Galadin said, finally catching up to him.
"Sule, what is going on?"
Then, apparently recognizing the Aeon, he cursed.
"Dolhokan, Raoden, you don't know what you're doing."
"I'm going to Teod," Raoden said, continuing to draw.
"But Sule,"
Galadin protested,
"you yourself told me how dangerous Aeon Tae can be. What was it you said? If you don't know the exact distance you need to travel, you could be killed. You can't go into this blind, Kolo."
"It's the only way, Galadin," Raoden said. "I have to at least try."
Galadin shook his head, laying a hand on Raoden's shoulder.
"Sule, a meaningless attempt won't prove anything but your stupidity. Do you even know how far it is to Teod?"
Raoden's hand fell slowly to his side. He was no geographer. He knew Teod was about 4 days' sail, but he had no practical knowledge of how many miles or feet that was. He had to work a frame of reference into Aeon Taiye, give it some sort of measurement, so that it knew how far to send him. Gallatin nodded, clapping Raoden on the shoulder. "Prepare a ship," the doula ordered to a group of soldiers, the last remnants of the Elantra city guard. "It will be too late," Raoden thought with sorrow. "What good is power? What good is Elantris if I can't use it to protect the one I love?"
1,327,042, said a voice from behind Raoden. Raoden turned with surprise. Adine stood a short distance away, his skin shining with a silvery Elantrian glow. His eyes betrayed none of the mental retardation that had cursed him since birth. Instead, they stared lucidly ahead.
"Adine," Raoden said with surprise, "you're..."
The young man, looking strikingly like Lucal now that he was healed, stepped forward.
I feel like my entire life has been a dream, Raoden. I remember everything that happened, but I couldn't interact. I couldn't say anything. That's changed now. But one thing remains the same. My mind. I've always been able to figure numbers.
"Footsteps," Raoden whispered. 1,327,042, Adine repeated. "That is how many steps it is to Teode. Measure my stride, and use that as your unit."
"Hurry, my lord," Aeshi exclaimed with fear. "She's in danger. May I? He's watching the princess now. He says she's surrounded. Oh, Domai, hurry!" "Where's Theon?" Raoden snapped, kneeling down and measuring Adine's stride with a strip of cloth.
"Near the docks, my lord," Aeshi said. "She's standing on the main road leading to the docks."
"Adine," Raoden said, drawing a line in his aeon that duplicated the length of the boy's stride.
1,326,805, Adine said. "That will take you to the docks."
He looked up, frowning. I'm not sure how I know that. I went there as a child once, but..."
"It'll have to be enough," Raoden thought. He reached up and wrote a modifier beside his aeon, telling it to transport him 1,326,805 lengths of the line.
"Sule, this is insane," Gallatin said.
Raoden looked at his friend, nodded in agreement, then with a broad stroke drew the chasm line across his aeon.
"You were in charge of Aerilon until I return, my friend," Raoden said, as Aeon Taiye began to shake, spewing light before him. He reached up and grabbed the center of the trembling aeon, and his fingers latched onto it as if it were solid.
"Eidos Domai," he prayed. "If you have ever heard my prayers before, direct my path now."
Then, hoping Aeshi had the angle correct, he felt the aeon's power rush through and envelop his body. A moment later, the world disappeared.
Serene pressed her back against the hard brick wall. Dilov approached with gleeful eyes. He crept forward, his line of monks closing on Serene. It was over. There was nowhere for her to run. Suddenly, a spray of light crashed into one of the monks, throwing the creature into the air. Stupefied, Serene watched the monk's body as it arced before her, then fell to the ground with a thud. The other monks paused, stunned. A figure dashed between the surprised line of monks, scrambling toward Serene. His skin was silvery, his hair a blazing white. His face.
"Raoden?" she asked with shock.
Dilaf growled, and Serene yelped as the priest dove at Raoden, moving supernaturally quickly.
Yet somehow, Raoden reacted just as quickly, spinning and backing away before Dilaf's attack. The king's hand whipped out, scrawling a quick aeon in the air. A burst of light shot from the aeon, the air warping and twisting around it. The bolt took Dilaf in the chest and exploded, throwing the monk backward. Dilaf crashed into the side of a building and collapsed to the ground. Then, however, the priest groaned, stumbling back to his feet. Raoden cursed. He dashed the short distance and grabbed Serene. "Hold on," he ordered, his free hand tracing another aeon. The designs Raoden crafted around Aeon Tae were complex, but his hand moved dexterously. He finished it, just as Dilaf's men reached them. Serene's body lurched, much as it had when Dilaf had brought them to Teod. Light surrounded her, shaking and pulsing. A brief second later, the world returned. Serene stumbled in confusion, falling against the familiar Teoish cobblestones. She looked up with surprise. About 50 feet down the street, she could see the bare chests of Dilaf's monks standing in a confused circle. One of them raised a hand, pointing at Raoden and Serene.
"Idos Domai," Raoden cursed. "I forgot what the book said. The Aeons grow weaker the farther one goes from Elantris."
"You can't get us home?" Serene asked, climbing to her feet.
"Not by Aeon, I can't," Raoden said. Then, taking her hand, he started running.
Her mind was so full of questions, the entire world seemed a confused jumble. What had happened to Raoden? How had he recovered from the wound Dilaf gave him? She choked the questions back. It was enough that he had come. Frantic, Raoden searched for a means of escape. Perhaps alone he could have outrun Dilaf's men, but never with Serene in tow. Their street emptied onto the docks, where Teod's large warships were ponderously moving from the bay to engage a fleet bearing Fjordan's flag. A man in royal green robes stood at the far side of the docks, conversing with a couple of adjuncts. King Evan Teo, Serene's father. The king didn't see them, instead turning to walk in a rushed step down a side alley.
"Father!" Serene yelled out, but the distance was too far.
Raoden could hear footsteps approaching. He spun, thrusting Serene behind him, and raised his arms to begin an Aeon Dae with each hand. The Aeons were weaker in Teod, but they weren't ineffectual. Dilaf held up a hand, slowing his men. Raoden froze, unwilling to commit himself to a final battle, unless he had to. What was Dilaf waiting for? Bare-chested monks poured from alleys and streets. Dilaf smiled, waiting as his warriors gathered. Within a few minutes, his group had grown from 12 to 50, and Raoden's odds had plummeted from bad to hopeless.
"Not much of a rescue," Serene muttered, stepping forward to stand next to Raoden, staring down the group of monstrosities with a contemptuous air.
Her defiant irony brought a smile to Raoden's lips.
"Next time, I'll remember to bring an army with me."
Dilaf's monks charged. Raoden completed his duplicate aeons, sending out a pair of powerful energy blasts, then quickly began drawing again. Yet holding to his waist with tense hands, Serene could see that Raoden wouldn't finish before the supernaturally quick warriors arrived. The docks shook with a powerful force. Wood cracked and stone shattered, and an explosion of wind blasted across her. She had to cling to Raoden's somehow more stable body to keep from being thrown to the ground. When she finally dared open her eyes, they were surrounded by hundreds of silver-skinned forms.
"Aeon Dae!" Galadin ordered with a booming voice. 200
hands raised in the air, scribbling aeons,
About half of them made mistakes, their aeons evaporating.